You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. CP, what's going on?
What's the deal, Mr. Sussman? How's everything rocking this morning?
All good, my friend. All good.
Very good. Glad to be here today on this snowy Tuesday morning in New York City. How about that?
Absolutely. I walked outside and saw snow, and I'm like,
I heard the same thing. I was like, I wasn't expecting this.
No.
I had to go back in and put on my boots.
I went to the subway.
Yeah, and said, good for
this
you.
This is what I'll be doing. Matt Woody, how are you?
Doing good. Besides sitting in the small chair today, otherwise things are well.
All righty. There you go. So, I left Tiarina relatively late last night, and as I'm walking out, I'm walking out with Nando, and he's like, you may need to do a video right now. I did, like, what's going on? And it's literally like 6:30-ish, 6:45 maybe, mm-hmm. And you find out that Blake Griffin has been traded. I'm like, that seems like a bombshell. Where? To the Pistons. And I was just like, what are these teams doing? And I looked into it. I got home and I read a lot about it. And I woke up this morning and I was like, what are these teams doing? And that's currently my position before talking to both of you, gentlemen. Here's the trade. Blake Griffin, Willie Reed, Bryce Johnson for Tobias Harris, Avery Johnson. It's not Avery Johnson. It's Avery Bradley.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, and Boban Marjanovic, a first rounder and a second rounder, basically for Blake. Your thoughts?
This is a hard one to see right here.
It's
because
weird.
Yeah, because what does this do for either team?
Correct.
The Clippers obviously are looking to try to stay relevant and rebuild at the same time, where the Pistons are like, okay, we can be in that 5-8 range for the next 3 years in the Eastern Conference. They have a new stadium coming. They got to sell tickets. Andre Drummond, Blake Griffin, two superstars, get it done. This has not put the Pistons nowhere close to the top of the Eastern Conference. And for the Clippers, this is just try to be good and bad at the same time.
You know, I don't think it's trying to be good and bad at the same time after the Clippers. I think it's burning it to the ground.
Yeah, no, but they're going to spin it as, you know, they still think they have something, but it's nothing there.
They don't.
Well, yeah, like you said, burn it to the ground. You know, maybe Doc's days are numbered at some point. I mean, I don't know about that. But wouldn't you rather have Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris over...
No.
In all honesty, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Blake, to me, I think the Clippers should have never signed him. I said that before the season. I understand why they did. Like, it was like kind of something they felt they had to do and stuff like that. But I don't know. I'm not here nor there. I was surprised, I'll say that. I guess they didn't want to pay the security for extra security for the locker room.
5 years.
They're probably going to flip Harris and Bradley also.
I believe both are free agents after this year.
Exactly. So they're probably going to flip them too.
They traded nothing. You can spend whatever way you want. These guys are not around for the long term in L.A. at all.
Well, they're trying to beg. They're going to
beg LeBron to come. And he's not going to come.
No, he's not going to go to the... No. He may go to the Los Angeles, but it's not going to be the Clippers.
But you know what? I mean, in all honesty, if LeBron went to the Clippers, you're still in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And what you could do for that franchise. Look, the Lakers are NBA royalty and all that. But you got like Shaq, Kobe. Don't even... I mean, for me, I'd want to go to the Clip joint and turn that around.
See,
put them in championship.
We've been there. We've done that with Blake and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul. And they got as far as they could go. And they turned the Clippers around. And you know what? The Lakers were still the Lakers.
Here's the thing about it is when you talk about the Clippers and the Lakers, I'm not trying to be funny. when baseball players want to win a championship, they go to the Yankees.
Right.
When basketball players want to win a championship, they go to the Lakers.
No, I totally get that. But as somebody that lived in L.A., I totally understand how the dynamic works there.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lakers are the Lakers. And I'm just saying, as for LeBron, to go to the Clippers, help them win a championship, you know, recruit his guys, you know, for that short-term three-year run, whatever
he does. You know. Take over the general manager job.
Exactly. You know, Doc's gone. He'll get his coach in there, and, you know, his players. I just think, for me, just looking as an outsider looking in, he can live in Los he can be in Los Angeles. And instead of, like, taking Kobe's team, Shaq did, Magic, you know, why not the Clip?
So Avery Bradley, free agent at the end of the year. Tobias Harris is another year after, you know, remaining after this year. Again, nothing long term with LA. But you know, if I'm LeBron, like I kind of did this 3-year thing in Cleveland. Obviously, I'm not. I have no interest in going to Clippers to do it. My legacy, if I'm moving on to LA, my legacy is going to the Lakers. I'd be the Laker. I could care less about the Clippers.
Yeah, to me, it's like in baseball when, like, you know. You want to take that last hurrah? You go to the Yankees. Like,
what you can say with the Clippers is at least they tried. You feel what I'm saying? They tried to figure out what they can do to get the cap to make it happen. But that's not the case. But when you look specifically at this deal for the Detroit Pistons, I find it interesting. They bring in Blake. They got a ton of money wrapped up in these two players. Like I said, they're going to a new arena, so obviously you want to have some star players in there. Blake does bring that. It does not do nothing for them in the Eastern Conference. It puts them nowhere near the top of the Eastern Conference. They're not going to compete with Detroit. They're not going to compete with Cleveland. They're not going to compete with Boston with this. So this right here is like this is mediocrity. The same thing we see in the NFL when you rehire these coaches. Well, at least we can get the 9-7, 8-8, something like that. Maybe we get a playoff berth here or there. This is exactly what the Detroit Pistons are doing. As long as this right here says this is a move that can keep us in the green for the next 5 years.
I think it was kind of like a move I'd expect from the Knicks.
Yeah.
Something like
in a way, you're right. You're absolutely right. You trade away assets. You have Avery Bradley, an expiring contract. Tobias Harris, 25 years old, 1 year left, reasonable deal. Boban, who really just needs minutes to be successful, although he hasn't gotten them in any of his NBA stops. And then, you know, a first rounder and a second rounder. You're basically just trading away assets for mediocrity.
Yeah.
Because you pair up Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Okay, maybe that's your version of Boogie and Anthony Davis, much less talent, but that's kind of your version. And what else do you have, right?
Like, nothing.
And you're paying these two dudes $70 million.
I was tied up in these two players right here. This is a business move right
here. For this year, $70 million for this year.
Yeah, this is
$171 million was the contract that Blake Griffin signed over the summer. $171 million over the next 5 years for mediocrity.
Yeah, this is to keep them in the green. New stadium, two players that can be all-stars. You know, people come out, the new stadium, they got recognizable faces. We may make a play. We may get a couple extra playoff games a year. We stay in the green for the next 5 years. That's all this is. This is a business decision by the Detroit Pistons. The Clippers, the same thing. They're burning it down, trying to figure out a way to get LeBron to come in there. But if I'm Blake Griffin, I am peed off right now. I just re-signed with you in the summertime. You know what I'm saying? And now... Less than 6 months, six, 7 months later, you send me to effing Detroit? Are you serious?
No.
To go be mediocre in Detroit?
No.
What are we doing right here? Every NBA free agent should look at this and be like, you know what? When it's time for me to get my deal, I want a no-trade clause. Everybody should want a no-trade clause.
It's actually crazy that Blake didn't get it. It's crazy.
Yeah, but did Blake get the maximum?
Yes.
So he got the maximum with the Clippers. Maybe he didn't get the maximum elsewhere.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, you got to look about money. And what Corey's saying about this trade with the new arena coming in, we often forget, and whatever the sport is, football, baseball, basketball, this is still a business.
Exactly.
And look, the bottom line, whether you own a franchise that's considered a failing franchise in sports terms, these people look at the bottom line. They look about the money. And if you run a business, that's first and foremost with anything.
Exactly, man. That's right. They're looking at it as, if we can do this, we can stay in the green. We know we got that much coming to us right there. But as far as Blake goes, and NBA free agents coming up in the future, you have to get a no-trade clause so this doesn't happen to you. Because I know Blake is like, you got to be kidding me. I could have been out of here. I could have been someplace I wanted to go. I came back out of loyalty, and you immediately moved me. What kind of... That's wild.
I do hope that maybe Detroit.
That's Doc Rivers. Maybe, that's why people want to strangle Doc Rivers.
Maybe Detroit does toughen up Blake, though. Maybe he does get some street cred going.
You know, I actually disagree with you a little bit, Corey, in that it's Doc Rivers. This is a move that Doc Rivers doesn't make normally, right? Like this, he just hangs on to these veterans and hangs on and he bolts. And maybe we'll see the bolting immediately following the season, which I probably expect, to be honest with you.
I can see with this roster.
Well, do you think it's a bolting or a Doc's going to be shut the door?
Combination of both, yeah. Probably. But I'm reading, I have a Zach Lowe's article up now from ESPN.com, which is just a tremendous job. And he's kind of saying a lot of what we're saying with Detroit, right? Like, what you're doing in Detroit is trying to plug in your version of what the Clippers have had for years. Blake Griffin playing the Blake Griffin role, Andre Drummond playing the DeAndre Jordan role, and then basically Reggie Jackson, when he's healthy, playing the Chris Paul role.
And that got the Clippers to Western Conference playoffs the last couple years.
That's where it will get Detroit.
And that's where it will get Detroit, and they'll be satisfied with that.
100%! 100%!
Staying relevant, like Corey said. Yes. Having that face that, mm-hmm. they can tell. Hey, look, I mean, the one thing I will say, look, Blake took the maximum, so you know what? He got the money. If he wanted to go elsewhere, I'm sure he could have worked something out for less money and went elsewhere.
Yeah.
He had that option.
The Clippers, as Zach Lowe actually points out, is like, on the surface, you're going to be like, what the hell has just happened, right? That's what I said this morning, right? Blake Griffin traded for spare parts. not to be hard, but that's what it was. And he said, rightfully, I don't want to bring this up to you guys, that on the surface, it almost seems like Jimmy Butler deal, Paul George deal, and now you have the Blake Griffin deal. Problem is, in today's NBA, and this comes from Zach Lowe, that Jimmy Butler and Paul George are simply better players for today's NBA. Blake Griffin, who just developed the 3-point shot, is, you know, kind of an archaic player. Same age, but not exactly perfect for today's
NBA.
There's
no explosion to Blake Griffin's game besides when he dunks. He can't dunk anymore. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying?
Avery Bradley's only got one more year on his deal.
Avery Bradley is a free agent this year.
This year? So wait. Oh, okay.
So there's an expiring contract. Correct. They can move.
The one thing I do find funny is his nickname is Spider-Man or Poison.
Avery Bradley? I didn't know
he's
that.
He's a good defender.
I can see. All right.
No, I can get the Spider-Man. I can get the Poison.
I don't know.
That's interesting.
I don't know. But interestingly enough, again, going back to Lowe's article here, he says it's not the best comparison that you could make would be Paul George or Jimmy Butler because different situations, better suited again for today's NBA. He actually suggests that the best comparison you could make, almost, not that this is fair to Griffin so much, is actually the Joe Johnson deal. When Joe Johnson was traded to the Nets, where the Nets gave up a bunch of assets for an aging player. Not that Joe Johnson didn't have some success with the Nets, he did, but
they were a playoff team.
What did they win?
Nothing.
Nothing.
They got games at the Barclays Center. Yeah, that's a good comparison right there. Mm-hmm. They got games at the Barclays Center in the postseason. It's a fairly new building. Was sold out. It was excitement around the team that wasn't going to ever go anywhere. They had a very good playoff series against the Chicago Bulls a few years ago. Yeah, that's a good comparison. That's basically what Detroit has become. And now you see where the Nets are? Detroit will be in that spot 2 and 5 years from now.
100%, especially. And I always get nervous when you giving these big men these long-term deals.
Oh, yeah.
They break down.
Yeah.
They're just so big.
Yeah, he's going to be washed.
And Blake's got knee issues, obviously.
Already.
Well, I mean, at some point, they're going to have to look. Just look at Major League Baseball. We keep talking about this offseason. They're not giving out. They gave out some of these big-time contracts. I mean, to superstars at the time, Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera. That's not happening anymore.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so either. We've seen that, right? Like, a guy like Nelly Cruz, who was in his early 30s, he couldn't find a deal. He eventually got paid for the Mariners, and it's been a fantastic deal for both sides. It's worked out. But you're not going to see these 7, 8, 9, 10-year deals anymore. I don't even know if you... like.
The only way you'll see that is with, like, say, a 25-year-old, like Harper Machado.
Yeah,
those elite
can't miss guys.
Guys have done it for now 5 years. They've been in the league since they're 20. They'll be 25. You sign a 10-year deal, you're there until you're 35, not until you're 40, right? Mm-hmm. Pujols is an angel until his early 40s, seemingly, and he's broken down. I mean, this dude's been in the MLB for 15 years already. So it's different. With Blake Griffin, I just go back to how shocking it is because, as you said, Corey, this summer, a 5-year, $171 million deal and no trade clause.
And no trade clause. That's bad business right there. because you
but
know.
But now ask me, say he got the money. So if you don't get the no trade clause, I mean, I to me it's look, if I get the money,
I feel what you're saying, Matt. But Blake Griffin had, I guarantee you, if Blake Griffin would have ranked teams in the offseason while he was a free agent that he would have went to, Detroit would have probably been last.
No, I'm
in the bottom five.
I'm not
by Sacramento.
I'm not arguing. Yes. I'm not arguing that point. I'm agreeing with you there, but I mean, at some point, you have to make a decision. What's most important to you? The money.
Yeah, that's true.
Stuff like, you know.
But I think going forward, every free agent that has a little cachet behind themselves is going to look at this and be like, I need a no-trade clause so this doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Melo's out in front of that.
Hmm? That's
Melo's out in front of that.
Exactly.
That's a, you know, that's bad job on his
agent.
Yep.
You know, absolutely. That's what you talk about. Even in other aspects, Hollywood and stuff, people complain about things. Your agent cuts that deal.
Yeah.
So, you know. You have to have some sort of responsibility.
The Clippers, when they wanted to re-sign Blake, they had basically built a museum inside Staples Center for him. And the tagline was, a Clipper for life.
It's a short life.
He's been excommunicated.
That's it. It's over. Life.
Josh, you're going to be next, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he might as well start packing DeAndre Jordan.
Now, does DeAndre Jordan go to the Cavs?
DeAndre Jordan go to the probably.
What are they going to give up?
I don't know.
They can't give up that pick.
They can't give up Tristan, who they'd love to give up because he's making the
Tristan
make Clippers
taking that. Yeah, why the Clippers? They just move Blake Griffin. Why are they going to bring Tristan a whack Blake Griffin?
Right.
For the same money. Nah, no, I'm making LeBron take him with you. Take him with you. That's your homeboy. You take him and them Kardashians with you.
You think he's got a mural of LeBron?
He has to.
It's crazy.
It's like Memphis Bleak, you know what I'm saying? When you're best friends with the king, you get the good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Never happened with me and Angle, though.
By the way, if DeAndre Jordan, Dylan Milligan-Arry, Tobias Harris are still in the books, they're not exactly going to have all the space in 2019 either.
Who?
The Clippers.
Yeah, so they need to move DeAndre.
They need to move DeAndre Jordan, 100%. All right, we need a break. We'll come back. I'll turn the cameras on. I'll talk a little bit about the NFL.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
YouTube, welcome inside Studio 34. To my right, the fantasy executive Corey Parsons. To my left, it's Wall Street Matt Modica. Thanks for stopping by. We're just talking about Blake Griffin. I do have an update on that in regards to the no trade clause. Now, he qualified for one. He could have gotten one. He fought the fifth year option instead of the no trade clause. But in order to qualify, you must play at least 8 seasons in the NBA to be eligible, and you must have played for the team that you were signing with for 4 seasons. So one of the reasons that Melo got it for the Knicks was, I guess, he had played for 4 seasons, and no one else can give him the no-trade clause. He could go to the Bulls and get the no-trade clause.
Okay. When did they put that in the CBA?
I guess it was the last CBA. I'm not sure.
That's horrible. Somebody, and these unions got to do a better job.
They do.
They really do.
It's a very bad job.
That's terrible. Mm-hmm. That's horrible right there. But I don't know. I don't know.
Let's go from one conundrum to another. In regards to the NFL, what is the most confounding, worst rule there is, Corey Parson?
Okay, we got to figure out what this catch thing.
That is correct. We have to figure out what this catch thing is. What is a catch? Well, I don't know, and Matt certainly doesn't know. He yeah, no. Corey, no idea.
No
right?
idea. No right. idea.
So I would have another Super Bowl underneath my belt if there wasn't this stupid rule.
What is a catch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the three of us don't know. You know who else doesn't know?
The NFL.
Roger Goodell.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell has no idea what a catch is. And he went on.
At least he was honest. Give him that.
Yeah, for sure. He went on the herd with Colin Cowherd yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we got to figure out this catch rule. He goes, I'm not somewhat concerned. I'm concerned. This is ridiculous that our fans don't know what a catch is. And he goes, fans want catches. And it was almost like a tagline, a catchphrase, yeah. right? Fans want catches. So when Colin Cowherd asked him, right, what are you going to do to change the rule? Like, how are you going to change it? He goes, oh, the competition committee's going to look into it, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And he basically said, in instances like Calvin Johnson, where he literally rolled over, put the ball down, and got back up, Dez Bryant, where he took 17 steps and then went to the ground.
A football move was made. Several football moves were made.
Literally, just down the sideline, making many steps before going to the ground. Instances like that, it's catch. Where Jesse James catches the ball on the 1 yard line, standing up, makes a move to the end zone, falls down.
Especially that one, because all you got to do is pass the
ball. Correct.
Pass the pylon.
That's a catch. Those are three instances that were brought up that the commissioner believes should be a catch. Now it's how you rectify it. And my problem is, guys, I just don't know, and I've said this to you both multiple times, I just don't know how you do it. I don't know how you were able to just be, to put the rule in black and white. Like, I know what I see, right? I know that Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant and Jesse James, all three of those should have been catches. I realize that, and I recognize that, and I understand that. But I don't know how in the rule book you were able to just make that black and white.
I think there are certain instances where you can see. It was like, what's his name? Adam Thielen on that touchdown he caught against the Eagles later on in that second half. You saw the ball clearly on the ground, like
right.
that kind of a thing. That's not a catch. They should be able to decide it. You see guys making catches, making moves. I mean, it shouldn't be this hard. It never was this hard. They made it increasingly harder and harder. They tried to, I don't know. I mean, it obviously originated with the Calvin Johnson play. And then there was the play, who's the guy in the, it was the Rams-Bucks, wasn't that the playoff game? In the end zone.
The Bert Emanuel play?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's gotten so convoluted. I mean, the Dez Bryant, that was clearly a catch. I still don't know how that was ruled. So I don't think it's that difficult. I really don't think it's that difficult. I think they're making it much more difficult than it actually is. And this should be an easy solution in my mind.
What's a catch? How do you fix it?
Well, they need to strip down the rule. They need to strip down the rule and take all of the come down with it and make a football move. They need to strip down the rule to where if a pass is completed in play, in bounds, the receiver goes to the ground with the ball. The play is ruled dead. The play is over. That's it. When it gets into the end zone, if you catch the football, if you come down in the end zone,
come down 2 feet
with possession of the ball, that's a catch and it's a touchdown.
Right, and it almost feels like the end zone even more so than the Dez Bryant thing. Like that's you, which should be like a running back. If you have
exactly,
if you have possession, shoot the second you cross. What?
I saw you was on your computer.
Well, I want to see the Dez catch.
That's a very hurtful thing. Oh man!
If you have possession of the ball in the end zone for any point of time, touchdown, play's dead.
I
don't know why it's different for one position than the other. Doesn't make sense.
It's not fair to wide receivers too. And then, like you say, obviously the fans want to know what the catch is. So when you look at these situations right here, the rule needs to be stripped down. It needs to be simplified. So in this way, you don't have this thing. Well, did the ball move? Did he do this? Do he that? If you have possession, we all know what possession of a football is when it not hits the ground. We all know when somebody gets both feet in bounds. Make the rule, make it that simple. That's a catch. Other than all this other stuff, a football move and do this and turn around on one toe and touch your nose and drag your left foot. Stop it. It's too much. It's ridiculous.
I mean, simply, you could just look. If the guy does trap it, you could see when the ball didn't move or he didn't have it or the...
Replay shows that, man.
Yeah that's what I'm saying. Right. What's the word I'm looking for? Not the dome of the arc of the ball, whatever. Sometimes it'll hit the ground first. You see, it's really kind of obvious. It's not. I don't think we're splitting the atom here.
It's actually crazy. So I have, as Corey alluded to, I have Dez Bryant's catch on my computer right now, right?
I know.
I'm going to explain it to the audience.
Can you take it off?
No. So I have Dez Bryant's catch on my computer right now. And just so everyone remembers, he catches the ball. He runs three steps, goes to the ground. Ball pops out, but he still has possession of it. It's actually crazy. The dude never loses possession.
Yeah, listening to the football the whole time.
He literally has his hand on the football the whole time.
What they're saying is when he hit the ground and he had the ball and he cradled the ball, the ball moved right there at that point, sure. And that's what made the pass incomplete. And
but if he still had possession of it.
But if you look at it to the letter of the stupid rule they have now, that is an incomplete pass, which is crazy.
But to me, in that instance, in that importance of a game, it should have been rectified right after. Like after that season,
right.
Boom.
But after that
season, they went back and said the competition committee said they weren't going to look at it after that season.
Correct.
They said they weren't going to look at it. And then in 2016 again, they said they were not going to look at it.
Correct.
I think we're getting to the point now where this year the competition committee will look at it. But you see, it's got to happen to let it happen to Rob Gronkowski and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I guarantee you they fix it then.
I don't know, man. Like I thought.
It's a major issue. I mean, I don't understand how they don't see. I mean, maybe now Goodell sees it, but how to take this long?
He should have been saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, how to take this long is my thing.
So now, in front of me, I have Calvin Johnson's catch. You know, he throws it up. Calvin Johnson comes down with it and freaking places the ball down.
It's a touchdown. And if that's a running back, that's a touchdown.
Easily.
We've seen running backs, like, barely get in the end zone.
Jesse James. That's a touchdown.
That's a touchdown.
It's amazing. He skies up Calvin Johnson. Comes down, 2 feet, he has possession, knee down, whatever.
Calvin Benjamin this year.
And he literally just puts the ball in the
Calvin Benjamin this year versus the Pats. You know what I'm saying? That's a touchdown.
That's a game changer as well.
Crazy. Probably got Jim Schwartz fired.
You know what? Just mentioning Jim Schwartz, why doesn't Jim Schwartz get a second opportunity?
And people don't
everybody's
like,
going all over
people, people don't like Jim Schwartz.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? His defense this year... The job that he did with that team versus what Matt Patricia has done, because he's a Belichick disciple.
Well, I think so. Number one, Patricia's done a nice job this year. He's done a very nice job this year.
He has. He's also got a.
He's done a very nice job this year. I don't want to say anything about Patricia. Okay.
And what about the job that Jim Schwartz? Jim Schwartz has done an excellent job.
He's done an excellent job. Absolutely. But Schwartz had an opportunity. He crashed and burned.
Time out, though. There's a lot of people. We see people get that first opportunity.
Definitely.
And you know what? Sure. They fail. They make mistakes.
Definitely.
And we're given that second chance. I'm the Giants head coach.
Absolutely.
I think having that experience, being in Cleveland of all places, I think that's going to help him, especially coming to New York.
I'll say this. So last night at Media Day, or opening night, whatever they're calling it.
Opening night.
Whatever they're calling it. Jim Schwartz was asked, why did you go on the interviews? What happened? And he basically mumbled and grouched, and everyone was like, oh, this is why he wasn't on any interviews, because he's an a-hole.
Nobody likes him.
People don't like Jim Schwartz. When you act like that, that's it.
People don't like Todd Haley, and, you know, he's a good offensive coordinator. You know,
he's not a head coach.
He's not a head coach.
That's true.
He'll never be a head coach. Never. He'll isolate half the team.
Mm-hmm.
If not three quarters of the team.
100%. It's just going to be him. Well, quarterbacks hate him, too. So
I don't know who likes him.
Yeah, nobody likes him. Fans don't like him. They beat him up outside the stadium. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, no. Fans like him. Running backs like him. Quarterbacks like him.
You're talking about good cop, bad cop.
Patricia did a good job, but Patricia, to me, isn't all that great. Look at who the Patriots played this season.
He's going to be he's going to be a failure.
Oh, I disagree.
You think?
I think he's going to be very successful.
Really,
I really
Patricia?
Do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. I'm kind of on Corey's side. I've seen this story before.
I've said it. I don't think that's fair. You've seen this story before.
I don't know what's so great about him though. I'm
impressed with the job that he's done year after year. His defense is getting better every single year.
But they also play in the AFC East, which is garbage.
Sure.
I mean, you have the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins. I mean,
the NFC East was garbage this year. Garbage.
But every single year, it's pretty much maybe 1 year the Jets are pretty good.
Patriots play first place schedule every year.
Or the Dolphins. But look at the team. Even look at this year with their first place schedule.
Sure.
I mean, they played Kansas City overnight. They got lit up.
Definitely.
You know, Jacksonville could have probably had them. I mean, they play the Titans. The Titans' offense is garbage right now. It really is. I'm just saying, I'm not saying that he is terrible. I'm saying he's good. I just think he's getting a big Belichick bump, is what I'm saying.
I don't, you know, it's not like this dude's a 1 year wonder. I mean, he's been the defensive coordinator there for years, a decade, give or take. I don't, like, he's not a 1 year wonder by any means. Listen, Jim Schwartz, I thought at some point we'd get a job. I thought this would be the year. Dude got one interview, maybe zero. People don't like this dude. They don't like him. He did a nice job at Buffalo as defensive coordinator, obviously.
He's done a good job as a coordinator, pretty much.
Excellent. Nice job in Tennessee. Nice job in Buffalo.
And he's done an excellent job this season.
Excellent job.
He has not gotten enough credit for the job that he's
excellent
done.
Excellent job in Philadelphia.
I mean, you might say he's a prick, and that may very well be the case.
Sure.
But you can't take away what this defense has done this
year. I don't want to. He's done an unbelievable job with his defense this year. He lost his starting quarterback, and here they are.
I'm standing up for Jim Schwartz. I didn't think that would happen.
Can I?
I'm here.
Hey.
I'm also at the Waste Management Open. But I'm with you. I'm with you, though. Jim Schwartz, it's you got to be a likable guy to be a head coach, you know, and in most cases and stuff like that. And I think that's why Schwartz, and I don't think Patricia is built for this. I think that's a lateral move between Patricia and Caldwell. That's a lateral move right there.
Well, you also just love Caldwell.
He didn't deserve to get fired.
He's mediocre. Mediocrity.
He was 7 games over .500 with the Detroit Lions.
Great.
That is pretty impressive.
With the Detroit Lions.
When you have a quarterback, you need to be better. Your offense needs to be better. He had a quarterback.
But I think one thing, too. Matthew Stafford is a good quarterback. Yeah. You want to put very good at best, I'll give you. He's not like great elite.
He's a good quarterback.
Yeah, you can win with Matthew Stafford.
You can win Matthew Stafford. He didn't.
You should go deeper to the playoffs.
He didn't.
He does disappear at times, too.
No, that's true.
Let's be honest.
He won't throw the bad pick.
Disparage him.
They were in the playoffs.
They never had a running game.
You're right. They were in the playoffs the year before last.
They lost like 7 games in a row at the end of last year. They still made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs.
How many games in a row did they lose at the end of the year?
They were not good to end the year. They made the playoffs.
What happened this year? They're in the playoffs, and who did they lose to the second to last week of the season? When they're fighting for the playoff spot, fighting for their playoff lives. They lost to the Cincinnati Bengals and Marvin freaking Lewis.
I get that.
Who did?
Okay.
I'll tell you what, that game.
I think his fate was still before that,
though. I don't agree.
Okay.
I don't agree. That game changed the fates of two coaches. Marvin Lewis is done, and Jim Caldwell's.
How the hell is Marvin Lewis back? Remember, he was like. Wasn't he wearing like a giant hat in like one of the pregame games? It's just mind-boggling.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I'm trying to get the. Yeah, it all comes back to Calvin Johnson, of course. Here, the Lions lost their final 3 games in a row in 2016, and then lost the playoff game. All they had to do was win one of those games; they win the division. Lost them all.
Yeah, all right. So we'll see what this new guy does.
Lost to New York. Lost to Dallas. Lost to Green Bay at home.
Dallas punished them.
Doubled them up, actually. 42-21.
Remember that.
Giants won.
I'm curious to see what happens with the offensive coordinator.
Jamal Cooter is going to stay.
No. Going with the Patriots, what's his name? Josh McDaniel.
Okay.
And say, taking the Colts job. But I just don't think Luck is healthy. Then,
sure.
Okay, he's got Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
And he had him in New England, yada, yada, all that. Without Andrew Luck, that's not a good job.
I don't think McDaniels, who's been around for a bit, I don't think McDaniels takes that job if he doesn't have the latest, most accurate information on Andrew Luck.
But how do you guarantee that, though?
You
can't.
This
guy's in Europe. This guy went to Europe. I'd be terrified. I mean, look, I'm not saying I wouldn't take the coaching job. I want a head coaching job. It's only, you know, a finite number of places you can go. But I just think if Andrew Luck isn't healthy or has to get another surgery, that is a horrific place that, you know, that's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the Browns without Andrew Luck.
I'm not going to go that far because their quarterback's better than anybody the Browns have.
They won how many games? 3-4 games this year?
Mm-hmm. More than the Browns. More than the Browns over the last 2 years.
But I'm saying this year without Luck. But I'm saying if you don't have Andrew Luck there, you're probably another 3-4 win season.
Right.
After the Browns maybe next year, if you put it, any other quarterback besides Kiger, you get like a somebody who's just capable. You can win 3 or 4 games. The Browns had opportunities. They played some good team stuff.
Sure.
Brissett, yeah. I think he has.
I mean, I'm sure they sold him on luck being healthy.
I'm sure they did.
I'm sure that was sold. I'm not arguing that point at all.
Of course.
I'm just saying, if he isn't, that, you know.
I am assuming.
I'm not saying that I wouldn't still take the job. I'm just saying it's really not an appealing job.
So after the last 20 minutes, did we figure out what a catch is?
No,
we have not figured out what a catch is.
Okay.
And until the NFL sits down, the competition committee sits down, they're not going to know what a catch is.
So they like the Matrix.
They have to get this done. This should be the first order of business.
Okay. There you go. Take a break. We'll come back. I'll talk to the King. He sent me stuff about Blake Griffin. That'll be interesting. He also wants to talk about something else.
Overwatch?
I don't think Overwatch. Some other things. Let's see how that goes.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Try? Why not check out Fantasy Factor? It's a perfect daily fantasy site for casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. The free enter. So sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com.
Are we about to interview Darth Vader?
You know what's funny about that? It's like Corey says he doesn't watch Star Wars. But yet, how would you know who Darth Vader is or how he breathes if you don't watch Star Wars?
I saw Star Wars back when I was a little boy. I saw Star Wars.
Yeah, I never watched Star Wars.
I know who Darth Vader
is, mainly
from that breathing through that mask.
Well, you remind me of Yoda. You're as ugly as he is.
Good.
Yeah.
Joining us right now, as you can hear, it is the host of Fantasy Sports Today, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Also the co-host of the Fantasy News Desk at Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern. He is the king. He is fantasy.
How's that going, Scott, the news desk?
He's Scott Engel.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well. How is that news desk going, by the way?
It's going very good. You know, we're covering everything. You know, we broke down the Blake Griffin trade this morning, talked a lot about the Jacksonville Jaguars.
It's a different show. That's Fantasy Sports Today.
Talking about the show that you do, Scott, with Tony Cincotta in the afternoon time.
Oh, in the afternoon, 3 to 4. That's going good. We hit a lot of topics, not just fantasy, but also what's topical, like the whole thing with the Cleveland Indians logo yesterday was leading the show.
There you go. It's interesting. No, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on Roto Experts.
Oh, we are. So that's going to be a good one.
should we not?
I'm with it.
Oh, boy. Now,
don't be nervous.
Now I'm nervous. Okay.
Well, look, you know, we had an interesting discussion on it yesterday, you know, and I'm glad they finally did it because I read a very interesting article in the New York Daily News last year that really opened my eyes to a pair of Native American lacrosse stars who were really, like, offended by it and trying to, you know, spur a movement to get rid of that because they said, look, like, do I really look like that type of logo? It's very offensive. And then if you trace the origins of the word Redskins, you know, it's very offensive. It traces it back to a genocidal time in history. So I'm glad they're getting rid of these logos. You speak to Native Americans on, they say, okay, you know, things like the Blackhawks, the Braves necessarily are not offensive, but they felt that logo is offensive. Now, there are some Native Americans that don't feel it's offensive, but they don't know the history of what the logos and the names are.
All right. So there you go. We can hear more about that. Listen to the podcast, Fantasy News Desk, from yesterday with the King and with Tony. Before we move on, I did want to get your opinion. I know you talked about it to lead off your program today on the Blake Griffin trade, which definitely surprised us last night.
Yeah, it surprised surprised all of us. Brandon C. Williams now has a full breakdown right now on rotoexperts.com. You can check it out. And once he gets used to where he is, you know, the numbers should still pretty much be the same, but it's more of a free-flowing offense in, you know, free-flowing pace, if you will, with the Clippers, where it's more deliberate with Detroit. But, you know, Stan Van Gundy, I guess he wanted to do something to try to save himself. But like Corey was saying, you know, this just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, that's not really what Corey was saying. Corey, it makes plenty of sense from Detroit's sense. You get in the playoffs.
Yeah. I guess that's the goal. But like you said, you know, they're not going to leap ahead of anybody. The whole thing with Griffin is, though, can he stay healthy? He hasn't played more than 67 games since 2014, and we've already seen him miss time this year.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Scotty. He has definitely not been able to stay healthy. It's been a bit of an issue for him for quite a long time. No question about that. Are you surprised after they did this whole Clipper for Life thing with Blake that they shipped him off 3 months later?
No, I guess you can never be totally surprised by these kind of things, because now you're reading that the Clippers are really going to clean house after this boss somehow, like Corey was saying, you know, trying to, you know, mirror, have this toe this public line that they're trying to stay in contention. But now they're going to get rid of Lou Williams, which will probably hurt his fantasy value, and DeAndre Jordan's probably gone too.
Yeah, you know, DeAndre Jordan and Lou Williams, definitely two names you'd expect to move. Now, Zach Lowe, ESPN, said there's a good chance that Zach Lowe mentioned that they very well may not trade away DeAndre Jordan quite yet. To me, if you can get rid of him, you have to. You just can't take anything else on, which is obviously the goal here. You want to just burn this down and burn this down. But making this trade, like, kind of makes the Danilo Gallinari signing make absolutely no sense. It's clear that the Clippers had very little plan, that the plan that they had didn't work, and now they, again, have no plan and are just going to try to reverse course as quickly as possible.
Yeah, pretty much tear it down. I don't know how they're going to build it back up again. You know, they're trying to keep on this public face. You know, maybe when Austin Rivers comes back, he benefits some by all these guys being gone.
Yeah, well, the answer to your question, Scotty, of how they're going to build this back up again, you just have to there's no point of ever being finishing 8th or 9th or 10th or 11th. You got to be terrible, right? And you build it back up with draft picks and clearing up cap space. You play in L.A. and you kind of hope, right?
Yeah, that's in every sport, too. I mean, we're seeing it in baseball. You know, what was talking about this morning on Fantasy Sports Today about how the Marlins, you know, can't get the top two prospects off the Nationals. The Nationals want to send their third and fourth prospects. And, you know, my position on the Marlins all along is that, you know, they have to tear it down to build it back up. You know, we've talked about it, so I don't think the Clippers are going to do that kind of thing. And you talk about the shock sort of value. I think any trades can happen at any time, but just seeing Blake Griffin in another uniform is going to be so weird.
Yeah, it's going to be strange and very, very weird. As we said a little bit earlier, Blake Griffin going to try to play the Blake Griffin role in Detroit, with DeAndre Jordan's role being filled by Andre Drummond and Chris Paul's role being filled, once he's healthy, by Reggie Jackson. We'll see how that obviously turns out. We'll see. Also on rotoexperts.com right now, you can actually check out my man Frank Stample's article, which we posted yesterday, about some baseball news and baseball sleepers amid last season's trash, which is awesome. And I noticed, not surprisingly, Frank wrote about a lot of the players that we drafted in the BBFF league.
Yeah, well, you know, he stands behind his work. You can find that under the MLB tab on rotoexperts.com. We're doing a lot of early draft stuff. As you know, a few people say, when's your draft stuff going to launch? Well, just click on the MLB tab in rotoexperts.com. There's a lot of free stuff there. He respects Johnny Cueto, Jonathan Villar, and Gregory Polanco to all bounce back this year.
Yeah, so like I said, he picked literally, I think, everybody on this list is, all three guys are on our team. So it's not surprising. And for the record, it's not that he just stood by his own picks. He stood by my picks, too. And that included Johnny Cueto. And Johnny Cueto, what you always loved about him going into last year was how many innings he pitched, right? He was always over that 200 inning mark, and you loved it, and it was reliable, and it was great. Last year, you didn't get that. You didn't get 150 innings. And the fact was, the ERA, brutal. Over 4.5, the whip around 1.5. The walk rate was extremely high. He lit up a ton of home runs. But at just 31 years old, to me, there's kind of hope for the future here, right? Like, there's kind of hope that this is a bit of an outlier. He was hurt. The blisters go away, and he just gets better in 2018, right?
Yeah, Johnny Cueto is a guy, like, 31 isn't 36 necessarily. You know, he does have some mileage on his arm. But I always liked Cueto. I especially admired him when he played in Cincinnati. He was really playing in a pitcher's park and putting up some good numbers in a hitter's park. But, you know, now he's in a pitcher's park. I think if he could stay healthy, you're not going to quite see the numbers that you used to. But like Frank says, he says 3.75 ERA or better, over 180 innings. I think he can do it. He just needs to stay healthy. You know, he's in the right environment. I think the Giants are building in the right direction, and I think you can still have confidence in Cueto and get him in a bargain, kind of like you guys did.
Did Frank Stanford write how awesome Mike Florio's team is?
He did not.
Okay.
what is
no,
this Florio?
He said he had baseball.
This is weird. Matt Medica here.
What back. Up, Ken?
What's going on, my brother?
Where are you on Johnny Cueto?
Look, for where he goes, I like him. I agree. Look, you're not getting a sub-3 guy. If your expectations are everything. I know everybody's kind of anticipating Lester might be somebody that's north of a 4 ERA.
Yeah.
I think he's like a 370, 380 guy.
Okay.
He's a guy that knows how to pitch. He should have a good defense depending upon how they set it up. You know, if Albert Moore is in center field, that guy can he can play. I think Javi Baez is one of the best defenders in baseball. And, guys like Lester, guys like Cueto, I'm going back in at that price.
Yeah, so guys that let you down a little bit last year in 2017 could be good value, as Matt said, at that price here in 2018. The next man up that Frankie mentions here is Jonathan Villar, which is a really interesting one. So we drafted Jonathan Villar pretty late, like double-digit rounds. And we're like, great, this is a dude that has the ability to steal 50, 60 bases, and we're getting double-digit rounds. We feel good about that. But the question is his playing time. Eric Sogard could steal some time from him at second base. You also know Ryan Braun wants to play second base, Scotty. So is Johnny VR a good pick in the 11th or the 12th round?
Well, VR was really exposed last year. It was interesting when I did my Fantasy Baseball Insider series on RotoExperts.com. You know, one top major league broadcaster who actually used to be a general manager and plays fantasy says, whatever you do, Scott, stay away from Jonathan Villar.
Why does Jim Bowden hate Jonathan Villar so much?
It was not Jim Bowden. I'm not revealing my source. I don't know Jim Bowden.
Your source.
Okay? So anyway, he tells me, whatever you do, Scott, you know, stay away. Tell your readers, stay away from this guy. He's a utility infielder that played over his head. You know, the guy did strike out 25.6% of the time in 2016. You know, I don't know if I have a whole lot of confidence that the numbers are going to go back to levels where, you know, that this guy is going to be an outstanding player.
I don't need him to be an outstanding player, Matt. I just need him to steal bases and play every day.
Yeah, no, if he gets the playing time, even, you know, if he hits 12 to 15 homers, he can steal 40-plus bases. And if you're getting him, say, after pick 150, more like that 170-ish range, I don't have a problem with it. It's not a guy that I'm super high on. But if he's, you know, on that team, if he's in that lineup, he's going to run. So there is very good profit potential available.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm looking at maybe like 245, 250, maybe like a dozen homers and 25 steals.
Why only 25 steals, though, is my question.
Well, I guess it could boost it a little bit up, but, you know, that's what you're, because they are the number one running team in baseball.
Exactly, yeah.
I just don't have a lot of confidence in the other categories, and I think he's going to drag my team down, so I'm not a big VR fan.
I think when you're drafting him, you have the mindset, it depends upon plate appearances. How many plate appearances do you think he's going to get? If he gets the plate appearances, I can't see him not stealing like 40 bases.
I agree. It's all about plate appearances. It's crazy because just a year ago at this time, we're talking about this guy going in the second round. Now you're getting him in 10 rounds later, in round 12, give or take. with that value, Scotty, I'm really interested, which is why I took him.
Well, last year, 547 at-bats, 33 steals. I mean, you can't steal first. The guy, I don't know if he's a good enough hitter to maybe steal 40 bases.
As you said, last year, the numbers state that he had 436 plate appearances, 23 steals, right? If he can,
right.
If he simply just get on base a little bit more, right? A little bit more. More opportunities to steal, I think. He only played 122 games. That's 40 games he didn't play. So give you a couple more games, a couple more chances to improve? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, look, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. I just don't like what he does batting average-wise.
Okay.
I don't think there's a lot of ceiling for power, you know. But
yeah.
He was very unimpressive last year.
All right, that's fair. Last one on Frankie's list, Gregory Polanco, right? He's battled some shoulder injuries, some hamstring injuries. You know he's not going to play 150 games. But as Frank points out in his article, he's going to get better, theoretically, against left-handers. And at just 26 years old, that big season that we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for Gregory Polanco, why not now? He's going in the 11th round of 15-teamers. And I could have told you that last year. It'd be crazy. And the 11th round to have a chance for a guy that's going to finish as a top 5-round dude, that's pretty great value, I think.
I think so. And like Frank points out, you know, we saw a real, in the first half of 2015, 287, 12 homers, 50 RBIs, 50 runs scored, 9 stolen bases. I think he bounces back. You just got to fix the problems, and you know, it's been injuries too. I think a healthy Polanco has a ton of power potential, and the speed is naturally there, natural athlete, and you know they still might get rid of McCutchen, but Polanco ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I agree. Polanco.
Yeah, I think the problem. Yeah. Look, he's 20. As you said, he's 26. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on Polanco. I've been burned by him in the past. But, I mean, last year, when you look at the hard hit percentage, it was really down. But I think that has to be contributed to all the injuries he took. And if he gets, you know, he can play 150 games. He's still young.
Absolutely. Scotty, it's been fun. We'll do it again tomorrow, my friend.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Fantastic. Take a break. Hour number 2 is coming your way next.